Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com. This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands.
22:06 is the time. The final segment for this afternoon is the Israel report, and today bringing it to us is Neil Lazarus, Israeli-based Middle East political analyst and public diplomacy specialist. Neil, thanks for chatting to me this afternoon.
Thanks for having you. It's always a pleasure.
So clearly there's one story today, the Haredi March on Jerusalem. Made lots of news during the show today, lots of listeners interested. Over to you. Tell us what's going on.
Look, I think at the end of the day, the question for Israeli society, which is the conscription of the ultra-Orthodox into the army, has come... That has pivoted. In the past, it was a question of should we allow a Haredim in? Should we give them an exemption? Should there be some form of agreement? But since the war in Gaza, the debate has changed. Fundamentally, Israel today doesn't have enough troops. It's estimated that that the Israeli army is lacking around 12,000 troops, 7,500 fighters. I'd add to that 921 Israeli soldiers were killed in the last war. So the question facing Israeli society is, where do you find the troops? Do you impose it on an already overstretched population who are doing reserve duty, some people doing 450 days, or do you recruit people who haven't been in the army? The Haredim are deadly opposed to it.
The national religious, who were presumably closest bedfellows to the Haredim on the political spectrum, have had enormous losses during the past 2 years. They seem to have galvanized very strong viewpoints on this particular issue. Is this a realignment in Israeli politics, in your opinion?
No, I think it's there's an indication of what may yet come. The National Zionist Movement, as you suggested, what we may call the knitted kippah, have some of our best soldiers in it, paid very highly, have fought as heroes against the evil of Hamas. But we have a large population that isn't committed to being a part of Israeli society, yet at the same time is willing to take money from the state itself. So the question is, how is this going to play out?
Exactly.
Because the problem's only getting bigger. Remember, I have two children. An average Haredi family may have seven or eight. Now, again, I think we've got to be careful a little bit of demonizing. We also do have attempts by the Israeli army to get ultra-Orthodox into the army. And where possible, they've bent over backwards to create units which allowed davening, would allow for non-women, sergeants, etc., commanders not to be women, and to create a situation which the ultra-Orthodox could find that they could serve if they wanted to. But it goes deeper, because the argument itself is not only about service, it's also about assimilation into a larger Israeli society. And I think that's the problem that the ultra-Orthodox are also worried about, is that they will come out, they will go into the army service as ultra-Orthodox and will come out as assimilated.
The problem with what you're saying is that that then is a zero-sum game, and I can't for the life of me understand where the compromise point is.
I agree with you. It's a question over national identity and a question of how do you make a group of people commit to some form of national service? Look, again, be careful to demonize. I judge people by what they say, what they do, and how they act. And I do pay attention to the exception where we see ultra-Orthodox in the workplace, we see ultra-Orthodox. Some are serving or doing national service on a voluntary basis. But the vast majority, led by the leadership, are deadly opposed to it because they see it as a threat to their being. Not only the right to study Torah, but as a form of assimilation.
You know, you say don't demonize. I'm trying my very best not to. I really don't intend to. I just see attempts by the Israeli state to try and accommodate, to change, to make space for Haredim's participation. And I see the kinds of reaction we're getting from the Haredi movement in terms of demonization of the other side. They're putting up posters of their draft dodgers imitating the same posters used by the Israelis for the hostages. They're drawing an equivalence which just is not the same. You had the ex-chief rabbi last week talking about a Orthodox religious man who'd lost a child, excommunicating him basically because his son had served in the army. I mean, this is really getting hot in the kitchen in terms of the debate that's going on right now.
100%, and it's something which will continue. It started with Ben Gurion, and it will continue today. Because the question really is, give it another 5 years, give it another 10 years, what is the Jewish state? What is the nature of the Jewish state? And will it defend itself? If you're speaking to people who said truly believe that the protection of the Jewish state is God, versus other people would say, we believe in God, but we also prefer to have tanks. It's a very complicated situation. And you're also seeing it next generation with education not to go into the army, education not to serve, etc.
Let's talk about the World Jewish, the World Zionist Congress that was held in Jerusalem over the past few days. We've been following it quite closely. Earlier reports during the day indicated that it closed and couldn't continue due to this million-man march. I don't know if that is correct or not. I do certainly know, though, that the decision to propose Yair Netanyahu, Benjamin Netanyahu's very controversial son, for a senior role has caused massive disruption there as well. Maybe just tell us a little bit of the goings-on today.
Oh, again, I think it's an appalling example of how the government and Netanyahu is trying to use his influence for personal benefit. Yair Netanyahu spent his time in Miami, where his equivalent and age group were fighting in the streets of Gaza, and at the price of the Israeli taxpayers. Remember, he's got bodyguards there. He's being subsidized there. And now, as it seems, that his father is trying to get him a nice job with a car and basically conditions of a government minister, I think is appalling, absolutely appalling. And these are the questions which Israeli society are facing today. Having said that, if you look at the polls which are coming out, the elections are going to be stalemate as always, with nobody being able to find a majority.
Ah, wow, your political system is so deadlocked. It's just insane. I mean, yeah, you think, remember, go back a couple of years where we had pretty much one election every couple of months. Looks like we'll be back to those.
Well, that's a scenario we may be back into.
Is the endorsement of the Satmar Hasidim of Zoran Mamdani making news in Israel?
Is it me? But whenever you have an anti-Semite who wants to prove that he's not an anti-Semite, he picks on the most radical group of Jewish people, the elements, because they look Jewish, to say that he's not anti-Semitic. Does it mean that only sees that there's a problem there? It's like, look, I'm standing next to people who look really Jewish, yet they're the extreme of the extreme and certainly are not anything to do with his socialist values that he wants to present for New York. So again, it's classic. I'm going to stand next to someone who looks Jewish so I can pretend not to be an anti-Semite. Trouble is that they help them.
What else is making news in Israel today that we ought to be aware of?
I think that this is very much, you know, where we are. We're seeing that the hostages are have been out. It looks like two more bodies may yet be released. Remember, we're seeing that Hamas is not keeping to its side of the agreement. Yesterday, we saw Israel attack Gaza and then go back to the ceasefire as a warning that Hamas should keep to the deal that was signed by Donald Trump. At the same time, as the hostages are out and beginning to talk, we're starting to hear some horrific stories of their captivity, including one woman who was put in a body bag covered by flour so that they could photograph her and pretend she was dead. We are also hearing of hostages which were beaten, especially at the time when Ben-Gvir decided to increase the severity of the conditions of Palestinian prisoners in Israeli prisons. So the legacy of the war of Gaza is still with us. What is going to happen finally? Is stage two of the Trump agreement really going to come into fruition? Those are the questions which we're looking at. But at the end of the day, in one sentence, we're in election period. Everything is looking towards the next elections in Israel.
Neil Esdras, thank you for your time this afternoon.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.